Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Johnson from Bethel AG Church. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We are so glad we could connect with you through this podcast. Please ensure you subscribe to receive new messages every week. We pray this podcast builds your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and motivates you to live a life of excellence for the glory of our Lord. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the message.
We are studying from God's word on strengthening foundations. You know, when Turkey, the earthquake happened, the first buildings to fall were the ones that had weaker foundations. The stronger your foundations, the taller you can go. And architects have a way, structural engineers have a way of strengthening foundations when you want to grow taller. And I think it's so important that periodically we strengthen our spiritual foundations so that God's blessings can grow upon us. And when storms come, when quakes come, maybe storms and quakes of relationships, maybe sometimes in our finances, maybe a crisis of health, storms are sure for everybody. You know, it could just be a pandemic, chaos of lockdown. It could be something else, but everybody gets affected somewhere or the other. And if you don't have strong foundations, it's quite possible that everything you build turns into trauma. Strengthen our foundations. And today, I want to talk about the foundation of prayer. It's so important that we build our prayer life. And sometimes prayer is traditional. Sometimes prayer is Pentecostal. Sometimes prayer is muscle memory. Sometimes prayer is boring. But I want to talk about effective prayers. From the life of Apostle Paul, who taught in the Gospels about effective prayer. Well, let's start with a joke. There was a huge revival meeting going on, and this man went for the revival meeting and heard the preacher who pumped up his faith. This man was preaching so powerfully that the man who came, his faith went up, and the man walked up to the preacher and said, "Pray for my hearing." And the preacher, you know, prophetic man, put both his hands on the two sides of the head, on the ears, and began to pray for the hearing. And the whole church began to pray, "Heal, heal, heal. Let his hearing be healed." Pastor took off his hands after a few minutes of prayer, and the prophetic preacher asked the man, snapping his fingers, "Can you hear me? How's your hearing? Are you better?" The man said, "I won't know until next Wednesday when the hearing happens in the High Court." A lot of times, our prayers are not effective because it's not done right. We've prayed, but not right. And there's a difference between prayer and effective prayer. So we're talking about effective prayer, whether it's personal or in the family or in the congregation. Everybody must pray every day. Now that's a fundamental. I'm very busy. Then you need to pray more. No matter where in life, how occupied or unoccupied, we must talk to God in prayer every day. Okay, let's read Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16 to 19. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you." What are the glorious Gloria, I like that word. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might? You know, the Bible here is saying at least three things that I want to point out to you here. There are more things operational there, but at least three operational things there. Number one, be thankful. Second, his wisdom to understand the fullness of the hope of the calling. And third, his power is proportional to our faith at work in our lives. So the first thing Apostle Paul is saying, if you want your prayers to be effective, start with thanksgiving. And he's saying something very difficult here. He's saying, when I think of you, I am thankful. Oh, you. Because usually when we think of people, gratitude is not the only thing that comes to heart. We all think of a mixed baggage. Good feelings, bad feelings, irritating feelings, happy feelings. When we think of people, we have mixed feelings. The Apostle Paul is saying, when you pray, you want your prayers to be effective. First thing, fill your mind with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God. Have your mind filled with thanksgiving. Collect all your negative emotions. Take a few minutes to package them, compartmentalize them, and dump it in the side and pick up thanksgiving in your heart to God. And start with, if you front end your prayer with thanksgiving, you're following the Bible commandment, Psalms 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Praising God is an experience of saying, God, my pain is there, my pleasure is good, but you're greater than both. Hallelujah. Praise is to say, God, there is nothing better in my life than you, and there is no evil in my life that you can't handle. I praise you, Father. That problem wants me to magnify and put my attention on the problem, but my eyes are fixed on you in my prayer. I look at you, not at myself. Sometimes in our prayer, we are looking at ourselves, our personal weakness. No, in prayer, look at God's greatness. When you pray, oh God, give me that job. Oh God, my marriage. Don't say, though I am like this. No, look at God's greatness, not at yourself. You want to look at yourself? Take a look in the mirror. When you come to pray, look at his greatness. Hallelujah. Oh, this morning God is speaking to somebody. When you kneel down to pray, it's the time to look at God. If you go to the High Court, courthouse, you have to keep your mobile phone switched off. You can't put your leg on leg and sit. When the judge comes in, no, they will say, all rise. You all have to stand up and then sit down. And when he leaves, same thing, stand up. In the courtroom, there is a way to behave. Otherwise, they take your if your mobile rings, they take it, fine you. And getting it back is such a hassle. Buying new one is easier. School also same thing. Going to the school, teacher comes in. Good morning, madam. It's a chorus, right? In my house, everybody, when we do something, we look to the east, and that's how we sit. Can you say that in your classroom? No. You look to where teacher is standing, and you sit like that. You can't say, no, we come from that community, we have to turn to the north and sit. No. Am I right? Whether the judge will give an order in your favor or against you, whether he'll be fair or no, whether the teacher teaches you understand or you don't understand, in the courtroom, in the classroom, there is a respect for who you are seated before. Why is it only in the prayer room we are so casual? In the courtroom, classroom, every other room, we know how to sit. Only prayer room. Breaking knuckles or pimples or whatever. You know, we take God so casually and want God to take us very seriously. I don't get this. When we take God so casually, especially after taking the courtroom and the classroom so seriously, we want God to take us seriously when we take him lightly. Funny, no? You want to see stupid Christians? They are not visible because they are stupid only in the prayer room. The other day someone said, Pastor, when you preach, you hit everyone, no? That's because through the week I pray and I'm getting hit. Then I share it on Sunday. On Sunday I share it with everybody. Take time to feel thanks to God. Don't be like that in-flight attendant. Sir, thank you for coming. You stand there for 1 minute. Move, sir. There is no thanks from the heart. She's doing, he's doing their job. Don't come to God like that. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac. God says, who am I to you? That you, Abraham, Isaac, I know. Who am I to you? It's a very personal relationship. Meditate on God. First of all, allow thanks for Him, that feeling of praise to develop in your heart. Take a few minutes. And second, meditate on Him and His Word. Christian prayers are to meditate on God and His Word. Meditating on nothing in the Bible is a condition when you sleep. When you pray, you meditate on God. You meditate on His Word. Prayer is not a time of mind control. It is a time of allowing God to control us. Prayer is a time where we say, God, I look at your promise. I thank you. You are a great God. Hallelujah. Meditate on Him and His Word. This is so important. When you meditate on Him and His Word when you pray, and confess His words when you pray. Always start the prayer. Always galvanize the prayer. Saturate the prayer with thanksgiving, with praises. Sometimes we're going through a problem. Father God, I don't know what sense to make of this, but I thank you for the problem. Not that I want more of it, but I thank you anyway. I thank you, you're going to lead me through this. I thank you, you can turn it for my good. I thank you that you're working in this. Thank God for something. Thank God in everything. The second thing given in Apostle Paul's prayer to make prayer effective, the Bible says, I pray that God will give you the wisdom and revelation to understand the scope, the hope of His calling. God is saying, look, when you pray, I give you wisdom. I give you revelation. That means hidden things being revealed. I give it to you. Why? So that you will know the hope. You will know the fullness of my blessed plan for your life. Prayer is a time where God deals with our desires. Now, we all want to know more. And some of us, sometimes we consult prophets. Oh, prophesy over me. Fair enough. But as much as God speaks through prophets, God speaks more through your inspirations that He gives in your heart. Let's read that verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Let's read together, Philippians 2, 13. For it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability. Oh, wow. He's producing the desire and the ability to do what pleases Him. Amen. Hallelujah. You're praying and you feel like taking a challenge of writing that exam. Don't say, oh, no, it is possible. Why? He will not only give you the desire, He will give you the ability. Hallelujah. Amen. While you are sitting here, you are having a desire. Every Sunday I must come to church. He will also give you ability. Now you come. You come. Some of you are like monthly attendance. This month I came, duty over. No, not like that. It's a relationship. One American lady gave divorce for her husband. Because when a friend asked her husband, do you kiss your wife every morning? He said, yes, it's a duty. I don't fail. She got mad. She said, duty? He said, yes, many times I don't feel like kissing you. I don't love you, but I do it because it's out of duty. What he does, he takes the briefcase while going out. Bye. I'm not giving any men any idea. Now, listen carefully. She divorced him. Many people do like that with God also. Duty. No. When you come to God's house, you're surrendering your heart to God, saying, God, you work on my desires. You speak to me through my desires. God inspires your desires. And when it is from God, He anoints you with ability. Hallelujah. I don't think I can do that job. I don't think I can take up that marriage. I don't think I can take up that responsibility. Hey, you can, because God not only gives you the desire, He gives you the ability. All of a sudden, you are surprised. You're able to do what you thought you couldn't do because He gives you the grace. Go ahead, give God a big hand. This happens in prayer. That's why when we pray and God works on our desire, you should not come out of the prayer room and speak against what you prayed. You should not come out of the prayer room and live life against what you just prayed. Your life and your word should complement what you just prayed. After you pray, God, I thank you, you're going to heal me. When the doctor comes to do the surgery, don't say, doctor, will I die? Tell the doctor, I prayed. God is with me, doc. Do your job. God will do the rest. Walk in a complementary lifestyle to how you prayed. Hallelujah. Amen. My wife did this to me. When I went to meet her in Pune, it was an arranged marriage, no? So, got the proposal, went to Pune, saw her. They gave us 10 minutes to talk to each other to make a lifetime decision. Talk about wisdom of traditions. Anyway, I met her. Few minutes. She was so casual. She was so cool. I told her, I don't want to marry you. You're such a beautiful person, nice person, but I think our personalities are different, so. She was so calm. She said, did you pray about this? That's all. That's the only thing she talked. Rest of the time, I was speaking. Now it's the other way, but anyway. No, that was a joke. That's not true. That was a joke. She was so calm. Later, I came to know, because she had heard from God that this marriage is going to happen. So she was so confident. This fellow will come around. She knew that. Never spoil what God has inspired in your heart through wrong words, through wrong actions, through wrong lifestyle. Don't contradict your faith. See, in your prayer, you have a faith in you, right? Sunday morning, you're seated in God's presence. You get pumped up in your faith. Monday morning, don't behave against the faith God put in your heart. This is so very important. Speak along with the hope God has put in your heart. Along with the faith. God has put a faith in your heart. You feel godly desires in you. Now you behave in accordance with that. This is so important for effective prayer. Our lifestyle should match up with our prayer style. And our prayer style should have an influence on our lifestyle. Am I helping anybody here? This is so important. There's a guy called Job in the Bible. It's before the book of Psalms. And his actually book is the first book of the Bible in terms of chronology. So he had a big problem. What was his problem? He went through the biggest disaster. And for me, you know, his life was a big confusion, because the Bible in the book of Job starts with saying, God is saying there is no one perfect like Job. When a man is so perfect and God himself is saying the guy is perfect, then why does he go through all these problems in life? But Job makes one. Now, I'm not talking against Job, okay? This is not like, criticizing Job. I never criticize anybody, you know? Sometimes I crack jokes, but criticizing, no, I don't. I don't believe in criticizing anybody. I believe in preaching the truth and leave it at that. I don't like to waste time talking bad about darkness. I'd rather talk good about the light, you know? That's the way I look at it. So I'm not criticizing Job. Job is in the Bible. It's a story in the Bible. But what I'm saying is, all this evil happened to him. When you read, don't read. No, please read. It's in the Bible. But the point I'm making is, it's a very sad story. He went through horrible mess. He lost everything and all of that. Finally, the Bible says, Job is saying, I knew this will happen because I feared it. I tell you, he knew this will happen. Why? Because he always feared it's going to happen. This fellow used to babysit. He used to literally babysit his fear and keep his fear going and make his fear grow. He would make his fear grow inside him, you know. And finally, the fear has come to a place. It happened in his life. You and I should be led by faith, not by fears. Not by, some of us know when we pray, we have so much faith, but when prayer is over, now what will happen? Listen, we need to tell our mind, carry on in that faith in Jesus' name. Walk in that faith. Do not walk in contradicting fear. When you have a life of prayer, walk in that faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And avoid people who weaken your faith or blessings in the church. There are, you know, if you send that fellow high one WhatsApp, he'll send back 3 replies which will affect your faith. You know that. So don't interact with such people. Keep it professional. Why you are praying? What's the use of praying? That charcha. Don't let your faith get affected. Finally, what happens is your prayers become less effective. That's the problem. Don't allow that. Because when people talk negative into your heart and life and mind, it begins to weaken your effectiveness in prayer. They don't lose anything. You're the one who loses. So stop. I'm not saying avoid them. Now, in a worst case scenario, you may have to avoid them. But otherwise, just keep it professional. Keep it. Don't allow their words to influence you. In my childhood, vacation days, I used to go, you know, farmhouse, village. There are different trees. I have seen when it rains heavily, some leaves are dry. Some particular plant, leaves are dry. And there will be water drops on them, rounded up like crystal balls. And you touch that leaf, no? That will just roll down and fall down on the ground. And the leaf will be dry. They've got some oily coating on that leaf. I don't know if you all have seen that. At least on your computer, maybe you've seen. Because these days, you know, people see more things virtual than real. That leaf has got an oily coating on it. Natural leaf. It grows in the shrubs and in the bushes. It just grows. It's not some kind of a fruit or a typical ornamental plant. It's just another thing that grows in the wild, but it's got coating on the leaf. All the other leaves of the other trees and bushes, if you look at it, after a rain, it's like it's baptized in the rain. But this one is so dry. Why? It's got an oily coating on it. And you tap that leaf, no? All that water drops that are like crystal balls, you know, balancing on the leaf, it'll roll down and it'll be like, nothing happened here. No water fell on me. Our heart should be like that, coated by the grace of God. When people talk stuff, no, one touch, it's gone. Why? Coated by the faith, coated by the word of God. Don't allow negative voices. Hallelujah. Don't go to fight against them. Why you're talking about my pastor? Why you're talking? Don't fight with them. We don't have the barking spirit, you know. I call it the Bangalore dog anointing. We don't have that. Bangalore dogs have a speciality. One dog bark here, another dog will bark from there. Whether this dog barked at that dog or no, that dog don't want to bother. This is brown dog, that is black dog. First you check whether this brown dog barked at you. This brown dog barked just like that. Sometimes dogs bark. Black dog, at least check why brown dog is barking. No, I heard the noise, I reciprocate. You and I don't have that anointing. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. So don't bark back at everyone who barks. Don't do that. But don't allow it to stick in your heart. Amen. Don't allow it to hurt you. A few years ago, One family came to me and said, Pastor, we feel so bad, but we're going to ask you a question. I said, sure, ask me. I said, Pastor, do you also run a business along with ministry? So I said, no, I don't have any business. Thank God. I said, why? I mean, what's wrong if I run a business? I don't have one and I don't plan to have one. God called me to do ministry. I'm sticking to that. They said, no, someone who claims to know you says that you are running a business and making big money. I said, okay, if that is true, what's wrong? I mean, you have a problem if I make big money? So they said, no. It's just that you are our pastor. We didn't know, but they were saying that you are more interested in business. So I told them, listen, I don't have a business. And then I asked them who that was, and I realized I don't know who they are. So I don't know how they know me. But anyway, I told this family, they are still coming to our church. I told this family, you know the problem. The problem is nothing happens to me. For me, my ministry goes on. Problem is for you. You will come on a Sunday in the church, sit down with confused mind. Does he have a business? Is he more interested in money? And finally, who is losing the blessing? Whose spiritual growth is getting affected? Yours, not mine. This is the devil's plan against you. You know how the devil attacks me? Somebody comes and says, Pastor, that family, be careful, Pastor. Oh, you don't know. When I hear those things, I don't tell the people directly. In my heart, I say, I rebuke in Jesus' name. If that's a family that is coming to my church, then I am the shepherd God has placed over them. I'll take care of them. I'll not be afraid. I will not be worried. I'm not going to have prejudice. I'm going to look at them with open heart. Why? Because it's the devil's plan to put negativity in our mind so that at different levels we lose out on what effectiveness of prayer can be. Don't allow negative voices. One young man told me, I don't come to your church. I stopped coming to your church. Now I'm coming back to your church. So I asked him, what happened? He said, Pastor, I was a fool. I came to your church and somebody told me, don't go to that church. Only rich people go to that church. I said, if that was the case, then I wouldn't be here. So he said, yeah, I realized it late. He said, someone told me, don't go to that church. Only rich people go to that church. He said, only slowly I came to know everybody comes. What a fool I am. I lost 2-3 years of my life. I said, yes, I have to admit that. I agree with you. Sometimes, sometimes what happens, you know, people who talk to us don't even realize that the devil is using them. They are sometimes just being normal. Sometimes they are being sincerely wrong, you know, not knowing they are wrong. They're just being casual. But the devil uses those words to disturb our faith and the effectiveness of your prayer goes down. Today, before the benediction is told, shake those words, throw it down, get ready before God and say, God, I'm back to normal to receive you. Go ahead, give God a big hand. Absolutely. This is so important. I'll tell you a true story in our church. One young girl who was in our high school a few years back, who was doing her high school, she came crying to me saying, Pastor, my mind has a problem. I can't memorize. I can't understand. Already my mind has a whatever psychiatric issue. On top of that, we are very poor and my parents can't send me for tuitions. And the worst part, Pastor, not just the finances are bad, but there is a problem between parents, alcoholism and whatever else. And everything is shattered. In case my parents separate, I don't know where I will go to live. I don't know if my dad will accept me. I don't know if my mom... Shattered. She said, will you pray? So I told her, I said, from here on, when you pray, make some changes. When you start praying, start with thanksgiving. Say, God, thank you that you have given me a life to live. Thank you that I was not an accident. I am an intentional plan that you have brought into existence. Thank you that you can change my parents no matter how wrong they are. Thank you that you can heal my mind. Take time to thank God. Meditate on his promises. What has God told you? You'll have a good life. Yes, Pastor. Thank God for it. 2-3 years later, she would come to me in between for prayers. 2-3 years later, she came back to the church and she said, Pastor, you know these people who are beside me? I said, I know. They are your parents. She said, yes. Problems all solved. God brought deliverance. Now they're not attending this church because they don't understand English, so I'm taking them to another church. But this church I won't leave. She was worried that I will tell her, go to that church with your parents. Because I believe as a family, when you worship together, that's more beautiful. That's what I believe. So she was worried I will tell her that. So she said, this church I won't leave. This church changed my life. Then she told me,
When I came to you for prayer, I thought you will put your hand on my head and pray for me. But you gave me one lecture and sent me. But I started practicing that, Pastor, and God changed my condition. God changed my life. And at the time when she was talking, if I remember right, she was doing her graduation because God had changed everything. Our God gives wisdom and revelation to understand His desire for us and then gives us the ability to follow because you're walking in effective prayer life. Amen. The third thing given there in the Bible is His power works according to our faith. His power, God's power is almighty. But our faith must become ready to receive that power. Sometimes people pray and say, why God is not doing anything? Are God is almighty, He's ready to do. Are you ready to receive? Because no matter how great our God is, He will work only proportional to your faith. That is the verse we just read. Three things from that scripture that I'm preaching. The third is this one. His power works according to our faith. So in our prayer time, we should pump up our faith, not only volume, not only stretching time, build up your faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The confidence that God will, God can, God is able. Amen. This is so powerful. Faith is so important. Let's read one verse, Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we, that last line is so important, if we don't give up. Three times this church, I locked and put the keys on my dad's table, my senior pastor. I didn't give it in his hand because I had a fear he won't give it back. Half-hearted, you know, very upset because I'm preaching hard, no one is coming, and those who come also, some fellows will walk up during my, hardly five people are there, one will get up and walk off, you know. So irritating, so upsetting, and God, why it's not growing? Three times I put the key on my dad's table, but thankfully I took it back. Sometimes when you do good, you get tired. You're doing good, but you get tired. What's the use of doing good? I don't want to do good anymore. This is very normal human experience. God says, don't get tired of doing good. Let's come to the first part. His power works according to our faith. Bangalore. We all live on Kaveri water, no? In case you don't know, we live on Kaveri water. Bangalore city gets Kaveri water. You open the tap once a week, no? Or twice a week. Huh? Once a week. Huh? Once a week, you open the tap, glug, 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 over. You know that? By that, you keep all the pots, the buckets ready so that in that 45 minutes, you can get that glug, glug, catch it, you know, get the water. I grew up in a home like that. Now, of course, most homes have water tanks and stuff, but in those days, no, we catch water like that. Kaveri doesn't have water, huh? You should go and see Talakaveri, just 200 kilometers from here. Man, that Kaveri River is so huge, it's frightening. You go near KRS Dam, it is so huge, and in some of the places, it's difficult to see across the river. It's so huge. Then why in our house? Glug, glug, glug. Why? Why? Because in between Kaveri River and our house, there is the blessing called BWSSB. They are good people who who connect the tap of water in our house to a 1-inch pipe from our house or a 1/4-inch pipe from our house. It goes to a 3-inch pipe of the water network of the layout, which goes into a 3-foot pipe of the corporation's huge water pipe that goes into a pumping station. And from there, they pump. And finally, by the time it reaches our house, that huge river becomes glug, 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 glug. God is almighty. But that pipeline between God and us called faith, God's mighty power is so squeezed in our little faith that by the time we see him work, it is glug, glug, glug. That is not God's mistake. It is all this unbelief and doubt and tradition and poor prayer patterns that we have fixed in. Change the pipeline. Connect a good faith pipeline. And you see what God is going to do. Hallelujah. Talk of faith, my heart gets stirred up. Faith, the Bible says in the book of James, one of the expressions of faith is that it has a lifestyle of functioning. Faith has works. The Bible says in the book of James, faith without works is dead. That faith is actually doesn't exist. It's a faith, it's a nomenclature which is non-descriptive, a job without a job. Faith which is in name but not in reality. It's dead. It doesn't function. So God is saying, when you do good, don't put your faith in the good. Put your faith in God. When you do good, believing that good will reward you, it may not work. But when you put your faith in God, and because of your faith in God, you continue to do good, God will reward you. Goodness should be a result of our faith in God. Oh, this is beautiful. The other day, one lady, young lady. Pastor, where is God? What happened? My boyfriend came and messed my life and he is gone. Oh, where is God? Wait, say that again. My boyfriend came, Pastor, 2 to 3 years. He messed my life, Pastor. He's gone, Pastor. Where is God? Hey. I sometimes don't understand how people bring God into an equation where they shut out God all the while. Only when you have to blame somebody, where is God? Two boys, very naughty. Very naughty. Everyone tried to correct them. They wouldn't change. Finally, the mother goes to the priest and says, priest, do something with my boys. I'm finding it difficult to live in this village. The priest calls the younger fellow and says, come here. Trying to put the fear of God in his heart, the priest asked, where is God? Where is God? The boy looked at the priest. He got up and he ran. On the way, his brother asked him, where are you running? He said, the priest is asking, where is God? They lost God and they think we have done it. I told this sister, you are such a beautiful person. Boyfriend came and messed your life. Now, why you're blaming God? When you do good, don't get tired of it. And in case you did bad, don't blame God for it. When you do good, don't get tired. Continue to do good. Because doing good is not your aim. Doing good is only a byproduct of the aim, which is to believe in God. When you have faith in God, when you're connected to God, your lifestyle, the way you talk, the way you behave is doing good. And God is saying, don't give up. Don't give up. Walk in faith. Don't give up. I will bless you. I will prosper you. I will answer your prayer. I will lift you up. May not be in a language and a way you understand, but I know how to do it. I'm a faithful God. Oh, I'm a faithful God. Serve God, love God, continue to pray, and God will answer you. Our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed as we pray and say, God, thank you for your word. We want to strengthen the foundation of prayer. We want to strengthen the foundation of prayer. We want to strengthen that foundation. We want to pray effective prayers. Effective prayers that are filled with gratitude because you are faithful. There is nothing impossible with you. When I come to pray, God, I'm not going to look at myself and my weakness. I'm going to be focused on you and your greatness. Effective prayers. Secondly, God, I want you to deal with my desires. I want you to change me from inside. I thank you that you will work on my desires and give me the ability to fulfill godly desires. Help me to protect that faith, to protect that divine desires from negativity, sometimes from friends, sometimes from people I live with. But give me wisdom to protect my heart, to protect divine desires you've put in me. Hallelujah. And lastly, God, in my prayer, let my faith grow. Grow by your word. Let my faith grow. Let my confidence in you grow so that your mighty power will have greater freedom to work in my life. That my prayers will be effective. The daily habit of prayer, honoring you in prayer. As much as I know how to honor in the classroom and in the courtroom, the wisdom to honor you in the prayer room. Hallelujah. 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 Heavenly Father, this beautiful day, many of our hearts are returning to you with a greater sense of hope and expectation. Thank you that no matter what we go through, you are a loving Father, that you care for us, that you love us. Thank you for your mercy and grace. May our prayer lives be strengthened week after week as we come to church. May your word transform us. May your word have a powerful impact on us. May we never allow negative voices to weaken our faith in you. Hallelujah. May we never be so tired that we give up doing good. May we continue to trust you, and out of that faith, good works keep happening through our life. Thank you for speaking to us today. May your blessing be upon your people. May the abundance of your grace be upon your people. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and the people said, Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message. I believe that you are blessed. Please connect with us for prayer or counseling. Please do call us or visit our website or visit us. The details are given in the description. We'll be glad to serve you. Do subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to encourage you in your journey in Christ. Please do share it with your friends too by clicking the share button. We are praying for you. God has great plans for your life. Thanks again for participating, listening. God bless you.